evening. This is W2TTT. We're going to start the Aries Net in a second. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call W2TTT.
Aries on the break, NS2K.
I'm here. Don't you worry. I made an announcement 10 minutes ago. Alrighty. No problem. And let's get started. One more time. Any emergency or priority traffic? C'est bon. Okay. Good evening, everyone. This is K2 Bravo Alpha Romeo, K2BAR, the amateur radio station of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association. This is the Thursday night TechNet. The TechNet has been established by the club to provide an opportunity for people to engage in technical dialogue about amateur radio, electronics, and related arts. Since amateur radio is, by definition, a technical pursuit or technical hobby, technical service, if you will, all subjects related to amateur radio are deemed fair game for the net. You need not be a member of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association to participate. You need to be a licensed amateur with a technician or higher class license or privileges that allow you to transmit in the 2-meter band from some other administration.
K2GCL repeater.
Which brings me to my next point. The repeater, sponsored by the Bergen County FM Association, and we are grateful for the use of their repeater for our nets. On Thursday night, we used 146.79 for the TechNet. On Wednesdays, we also use 146.79 for the Wednesday night ChatNet. And then, of course, on Tuesday, I think we use 444.100, not 443.100, to engage in the net as well, also at 9 o'clock. On Mondays, we give the Bergen County FM Association a bit of a rest, and we use their, we use 10 meters, and we operate on 28.350, also at 9 o'clock, upper sideband, 28.350, and we look forward to your joining us for that as well. Format for the net is relatively simple. It's a little different than some of the other nets. You come in with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment. If you have none, you just say, no comment, no question. We got you covered. So, with no further ado, I will selectively call for check-ins. Since I heard one, let's try the November stations first with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment for the net. November stations, please call. K2BAR.
K2BAR, this is N2OEA. I think I'm up to 6 questions.
Jeez, 6 questions, Noel. You're killing me. All right, we're going to probably break them down into groups. We'll just keep coming back to you maybe later. Very good. Welcome. Any other November stations? Call sign, name, and whether or not you have a question or comment. I swore I heard another November station before the net, but anyway, alrighty. Whiskey stations, please call. K2BAR.
This is Whiskey India 2 Whiskey. Steve, no questions.
WITW, good evening, Steve. Welcome aboard. Got you, no questions. Any other whiskey stations? Okay. Any Alpha stations, please call K2BAR. Okie doke. I'm wondering, has anyone heard John in a while? We haven't heard him in almost 2 months. I'm just wondering if anyone's heard John recently. Anyway, he wasn't at the last couple of meetings either. Alrighty. Any Kilo stations? Please call K2BAR.
Kilo Charlie 2 Alpha Whiskey X-Ray. Name's Harvey. No comments, no questions, no nothing.
Harvey, I've never called you a no-nothing. I've defended you ruthlessly against all allegations of that nature. Good hearing you, KC2AWX, K2BAR. Any other kilos?
Kilo 2 Zulu Oscar. No comments or questions at this time.
PYB, no questions, no comments at this time.
I got two of you in there that time. Good. K2ZO, Jim, good evening. No questions, no comments. Richard, KC2PYZ, the same. Thank you both. Any other Kilo stations, please call K2BAR.
KO2OK, Bennett, no questions.
Okay, Bennett, good evening to you. KO2OK, any other Kilos?
No questions.
I'm sorry, the last one with no questions?
KC2SST.
Ah, KC2SST, very good. Alrighty. No questions, no comments. Thank you, Chuck. Alrighty. Any other stations, Kilo stations, please call K2BAR.
KA2BDU, no questions.
Okay, Helmut, very good. KA2BDU, so noted. Any other Kilos?
KC2SAV, Al, I have a question and a comment.
All right, Al. God, we're gonna need some punctuation here going forward. Thank you for providing that. KC2SAV, K2BAR, very good, thank you. Any other Kilo stations, please call K2BAR.
KC2SKL.
Hi, Kelly, KC2SKL, do you have a question or comment for the net?
No questions, no comments.
Sure, and this time you have a signal. It's a slight amount of egg frying you, but your Q5 copy, you're a pleasure to listen to. And that's even without the tonal response of your voice. All right, KC2SKL, welcome aboard. Anybody else, Kilo stations, please call sign, name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment. Please call K2BAR. Okay, one last time, any station, any call sign, please call K2BAR.
NS2K, you missed me before. You started to talk too quick. No question at this point.
I actually waited and called you specifically, but okay. Without mentioning your name or call sign. Very good, James. Good to hear you, NS2K. Anybody else, please call K2BAR.
N3CRT, no questions, just eating dinner.
Okay, N3CRT. Thank you, Charlie. Let's make a note that you're eating your dinner. No, just kidding. Anybody else, please call K2BAR. Okay, let's take one of Noelle's questions, see how that rolls. If it rolls into a second question, so be it, Noelle. Let's just use you as a place we go back to for the next question, but I also want to get a hold of Al's questions and comments, so we'll maybe intersperse him into yours. Put your first question on the table. N2OEL, K2BAR.
Okay, basically there are three sections of questions. One has to do with counterpoises for HT. One has to do with coax cable from 23 years ago versus modern coax cable such as LMR400. And the third question is, if I put up LMR400, which is solid, what kind of flexible stuff and how long do I need to go to the rotor? So, the first question, tiger tails, counterpoises, whatever you want to call them, rat tails. Anyways, we've been playing with them at Kid Night for the last couple weeks. I get some amazing difference when I sit there at my luncheon at work with the HT sitting there with my full quarter wave whip. I could get 79 and 995. I could hear it, but gosh, the noise was just awful. I mean, it was just, the stations were buried. Put the lousy counterpoise on. I mean, we tuned them, by the way. Mr. NS2K tuned them for us. So we know that we're resonant in the middle of the band, 146. The first question is, they claim as much as 12 dB gain over a rubber ducky. If you put a quarter wave whip on your HT and a counterpoise and extend it in the direction of the station, that's number one. Number two in it is they claim that it doesn't do much for a 440 rig. We cut a few, we did it. I think it may be because the rig is too small. So that's the first two questions. Over to you, K2BR, and Troy.
Okay, let me see if I can discern your questions from that. The first question, I guess, was whether or not it's rational to expect gain or improved performance from the application of a counterpoise to an HT on 2 meters. Answer, yes. I think your data shows that. Is it about 12 dB? Sounds about right to me. Versus a quarter wave? Yeah, I think so. So if you have a quarter wave with a counterpoise versus a rubber duck and none, yeah, 12 dB would be about my guess as an improvement. Does that answer the essence of your first questions?
So far, and we think, well, the assumption was, if you go on the internet and search it, that it's useless for 440, and I'm thinking maybe it would work if we put a 2 meter one resonance and used 3/4 wave as the counterpoise. Maybe it would do a better job than just a quarter wave, because 6 inches of wire, it just sticks out. It doesn't hang limp, it doesn't do anything. It's just like there.
K2KCL repeater.
I'm looking at some of my older HTs and reflect the counterpoise length is about the same length as the metal frame of the HT, so I'm not surprised at all. I think the amount of improvement per se would be minimal. However, if you made a gain antenna as opposed to a rubber duck or even just a quarter wave on 430 or 440, I would think you'd get improved performance. You know, just the way it is. In fact, I know that to be the case because if you take something like an SRH 320A, which is a very common, SMA diamond antenna, it's a tri-band antenna, but it's still got some gain on 440, you will note that it works better than a quarter wave, period. Whether or not it's rolled up in a coil or whether or not it's straight out, it still performs better than either one. Okay, on that note, does anybody else want to chime in on these answers? Please call K2BAR. Okay, very good. Let's see. Noelle, I think I'm going to skip for a moment and take Al's first question. We'll come back to you. KC2SAV, your question. This is K2BAR.
K2BAR, this is KC2SAV. The first question is, I have a 1961 Novatec aircraft receiver. It has LF, AM, MF, HF, and a VHF. Now, knowing that it's all tubes, the AM sounds real good. Would the radio still work if, like, let's say there's one tube start working that I don't know about? I have to open it up, but will it still work?
Well, you're already transmitting on it. You know the transmitter works, right?
Yeah, I copy that.
Okay, so can you put another transmitter on the air and try to receive it? If it's AM?
No, it doesn't have I guess it's just to listen to. It doesn't have a mic. It has a slot for a speaker and then a few screws for antenna.
So it's a receiver. So go ahead and use it. If you want to know if it could be made to work better, yeah, probably. But see what you hear as it is and with a good antenna, and if you're not satisfied with it, maybe you want to have it checked out on kit night. It'd be a good thing.
Sounds good. I'll do that. K2BAR, this is KC2SAV. Thanks.
Okay, very good. We'll hold your comment for later. Back to Noel. Into OEL. You got a question about 25-year-old coax versus current coax. Is it the same model number? Is it the same manufacturer? And tell us about it a bit. Give us some data.
Okay, I'm going to put up a 2-meter beam, 440 beam, a 220 J-pole, and I have the isopole up there. Currently, my isopole does reasonably good on Racy's, but a lot of stations are really down in the noise. I'm considering replacing the polyfoam that I bought, I believe it was 1985. It's RG8. It's a white cable. It said it was POLYFOAM back then. And I guess it was really for HF, not 2 meters.
So you want to know about 25-year-old polyfoam versus what?
If I use LMR 400, I'd probably get double the output at the antenna.
That would be my guess.
Which would be a lot cheaper than putting an amp out. Next question. If I hook to a rotator, how long I'm going to make some flexible cable, like 213 or something, for the last 4, 5, 6, 8 feet? How long does the flexible section have to be?
Of LMR 400?
LMR 400 is a solid center, so I was going to go up with a female end and make a short jumper of something flexible.
Okay, let me tell you what I do. I don't bother with that. I use LMR 400 here. It works great. And what I do is I just use, I secure the cable coming off of the antenna on the mast, and then well above the rotating part of the, you know, where the rotating meets the stationary part of the tower, I put about 4 turns of coax in a big loop around the tower. And I then secure it as well. And basically I have this big, flexible 4 or so loop, turn loop around the tower. Big, I mean, twice the diameter of the tower, maybe more. And it works fine, it doesn't wear out, and it's great. And if it ever really did wear out, I would cut it up there and put a flexible piece in, but I don't have the connector loss, and it works just fine.
Ready for the next question.
Before I move on, anybody want to comment about the last two questions, either the foam versus LMR, and the 25-year-old foam versus the current LMR 400, and my selection of a fixed piece of a rigid piece of coax appropriately positioned to minimize wear and tear. Anybody want to comment on that? Okie doke. Mr. Noel, it's all yours. Next question.
Next question. Coax connectors. I'm the world's worst solderer. Should I use the crimp-on type and buy the tool for $40? Or should I attempt to solder coaxial, type N connectors on?
Buy the tool so I can borrow it. WI2W, comment?
Okay. WI2W, go ahead.
Yeah, the Fairlawn Amateur Radio Club has a crimping tool, Noel. So if you're a member of the club, you can go down there and crimp the connectors on. And I'm sure that Paul, W2IP, will be able to steer you in the right direction as to what connectors to get for what cable. He's very knowledgeable at that. And same goes for you, Jim. And with that, back to Nick.
It don't fit.
Tool that they have Fairlawn is not a crimping tool for LMR 400. Is that what you're saying, Noel?
Crimping tool, and then it will fit.
We doubled. I asked him a question. Go ahead, Steve. Try it again.
Yeah, if the crimping tool is the wrong size, you can probably get a new die for the crimping tool at much reduced cost, and Fairlawn might even get one, and then it would fit.
Crimping tool is for LMR 600, and it's completely different for some reason from the LMR 400 tool.
The
Yeah, I believe that there are interchangeable dies, so you can remove the die out of the handle of the tool and put a different die in, and then it would work for the right connectors. You can check with Paul, but I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
Sounds good. Next question. You can buy 800 feet for around 260-70 bucks. If I bought 800 feet, could I find enough people in the club to get rid of the excess too?
LMR 400? Sure, absolutely. One caution, if you do decide to solder the connectors, make sure you get the right kind of connector for LMR 400.
Last question?
Go right ahead.
I've heard some people say that you should buy this special heat shrink with adhesive on the inside that you put over the LMR 400 connection and shrink it down to make a watertight seal. Any thoughts on watertight seal to keep the end of the cable?
This is KC2SST. Yes, if you use N-type connectors, they will claim to be waterproof. However, I don't believe this. Having water trouble with a few N-type connectors in for 2.4 gigahertz wireless internet applications, I just cover them with the silicone that's appropriate for electrical connections instead of bothering with heat shrink or anything. And if I need to get at the connector, just take a razor blade, cut it away, and there it is.
K2KCL repeater.
That was useful. Yeah, I never trusted any connectors fully, except for short periods of time. So I can understand that. I would agree with Chuck on that point. Although I read the spec, but I decided that I'm just not Jim Joyce. I can't do those connectors the way he does. Jim, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, learn to solder.
It's not the solder. It's the trimming in the back to make sure that you actually get a good tight seal over that, ferrule that cramps down and everything, makes electrical contact and seals the, makes it watertight.
Yeah, well, what you gotta do is start with stuff that's clean and then you gotta tin it first, but yeah. Well, I think it's about time we have another demonstration. How about that? Good for, bar meeting.
Yes, I think that'd be a wonderful thing. Absolutely wonderful thing. No question about it, in my book. Okay. Well, I guess the bottom line question is there any harm in putting on heat shrink tubing or goopy hard, heat shrink tubing? I would dare say the answer is no. I think it'd be just fine. As long as the collet can spin and lock down the connector, I don't think there's any harm in it. Noel?
You know how I get my connectors soldered?
You bring the kid tonight and have Jim do it?
I asked Jim how to show me. Show me how to do it. And because I can't solder worth a darn. I could not. He's so good at them.
They're taking you for granted, Jim. Just thought you'd like to know. Alrighty. Any further questions, Mr. Noel?
I think that's eight, and I'm questioned out. Thank you. K2BAR and 2OEL.
Well, we, the assembled, Barra answermen, are glad to help. Alrighty, KC2SAV, I believe you said you had a comment.
Yes, the comment is that I, this past Tuesday, I did go to Kid Night, and I want to comment on that, and I thought it was excellent. There was a lot of people there, and everyone was doing something, except me. Of course, I was doing something. I was watching everyone.
Well, that's a good thing as an initial entree or foray into that event. I think that's splendid. I actually had to miss the ever-popular scout troop meeting that night because my son had a playoff game, and went to that and watched him score a playoff goal, and they won. They beat a team that had been undefeated, which was very exciting. They were very unhappy, and the next night they came back and beat him again even more, proved that they could be beaten twice, and they walked away with their cup, which was kind of cool. So I still wish I could get to Kid Night, but maybe after we get shut out of the high school, if you want to move Kid Night over to Bergen Field on Tuesday nights in the warm weather, that offer still stands for the summer and other select holidays where you're shut out of the school. In any case, what else? I think we have time for another round of check-ins to see what we might have. And then we'll also check to see if anyone has all of a sudden a new question or a comment they hadn't thought about before. Maybe even we'll check in with Charlie about the TechNet website in a little bit. So any stations who have not yet checked in would like to, your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment, please call K2BAR.
K2BAR. WI2Q. With a comment. Wow.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Hey, Dave. All right, we got your comment noted. Anybody else want to check in? Okay, very good. Well, then I'm going to defer to WI2Q, who used to be WA2RYC when I was WB2CAM. He was like the third or fourth ham I met in New Jersey, courtesy of the Night Raiders VHF Club. And so, Mr. Buddha, go ahead. WI2Q, K2BAR.
Yeah, I was tuning across the band, and I happened to hear your melodious voice, Gordon, and I just sat here and listened for about 2 minutes and realized that you were doing a service, as usual, and helping guys out, and I thought that was kind of neat. So my comment is, kudos to Gordon, and I also heard WI2W checking in last night to a net that I didn't get a chance to sign on to, commenting about how much he enjoyed kit building night. And if you guys weren't so far away from me, I would probably join your group, because you guys have a lot of neat things, and your ham fests are wonderful. And Tony and everybody else that volunteers, as well as you, Gordon, and of course Steve, and many I didn't even mention. Always a great bunch of guys, and always fun to be with. So I just thought I'd throw that in and let you know that those of us out here in the western part of the state, 30 miles from the Delaware water gap, can not only get into this repeater, but every once in a while we actually listen. K2BAR in the group, WI2Q. Was I too quick?
Nah, you're just fine, Dave. This is amazing. Well, Dave, we met about 32 years ago this month, just as, in fact, it was this month, I can tell you that for a fact. That's kind of neat. That was my first Night Raiders meeting. Everybody had TR-22s sitting on the table, and wherever it was that we met, I think some hole in the Passaic. But anyway, then we went out for food. Oh, dear me, those were the days. All right. And there are numerous others who do things, including K2ZO, NS2K, let's see, KO2OK, just to name a few, N3CRT, who's now doing the website for this TechNet, so it's kind of neat. There's all sorts of good stuff going on. So I'm just a force multiplier to bring people together. That's how I view this net, and it's a good thing. So, enough of that. Anybody else wish to check in? Please call K2BAR. Okay. N3CRT, could we have a few words of wisdom from you regarding the TechNet website?
Yep, this is N3CRT, Charlie. And the TechNet website is available at
Technet.ning, and that's November India, November Golf, .com. Technet.ning.com. And I'm trying to add a little thing here so maybe we can have a chat window while the net is running. So I'm just scrolling through trying to find something to add to it, and I don't know if it'll work, but I'm working on it. N3CRT, back to the net.
Ooh, we can have a chat room while we have a chat room. Ain't that special? That's pretty cool. The other thing that we may be doing in the next couple of months, I know we've been promising it for a while, but we may set up a deal where we put things either on that website for people to download during the net, let's say a diagram or whatever. But there's also been a suggestion, and this is where I wished that K2ZO had a camera attached to his computer, because we're thinking that it would be really cool to do a demonstration on the net of Jim soldering in his own ham shack. We thought that might be kind of cool. And other miscellaneous things that people have to show off in their ham shacks. We could do essentially a video, a shared video conference kind of thing with audio here on the radio. It'd be kind of neat. It would also allow people who are farther away to at least listen in on the net, which is another thing we need to address as well, because there are people who would love to check into the net when they're not here, and they would benefit from that, and we probably would too. But anyway, any other check-ins for the net, please call K2BAR.
Okay, this is KC2AWX with a question.
Everybody got your question so noted. Anybody else?
Comment, WI2W.
Okay, got your comment after Harvey's question. Anybody else for the net? Any other, you should say, contributions people would like to make? Well, so be it. KC2AWX, your question, sir.
All right. KC2AWX here. I do know how to solder, but I got a question. On a connector, say like if you want to use RG8, one, how far do you have to strip the center conductor? Two, what wattage of soldering iron do you have to use to heat that up? KC2AWX.
K2ZO, if you could answer that for PL259s, Ns, and BNCs, I think we'll all be a happier group.
Okay, this is K2ZO. Do I have it?
Yeah.
Harvey, I use a heavier iron. I use a 200-watt Weller, you know, the soldering iron gun. And that seems to do a good job. And what I've found out is that if I tin the inside portion of the braid or the UG176 or 175 adapter, and use fine solder, rather than using a big thick piece of solder which blows all over the place, I can push the fine solder into the hole and get it to flow much easier. And as far as the amount you need for the center conductor, I always make a little bit extra and then trim it off at the end. Go ahead.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I have to get a different soldering iron. I have a 25-watt and a 50-watt Unger, quite old, so I have to get a different soldering iron. Thank you very much, sir. KC2AWX.
You want to solder fast, you need high heat. If you have low heat, you melt the center conductor.
Okay. Harvey, you want to comment on that?
You know what? Jim is correct. as I've used a 50-watt soldering iron trying to melt the solder, and you know what? It did melt the center conductor insulation. But this was some cheap RG8 that I bought from Radio Shack, and I noticed on some on good RG8, no, heat won't affect it, but I do have to have a new iron. Now, my next question is, where can I get a good iron?
I bought mine on eBay.
All right, thank you very much, sir.
Okay. I think that's that. Alrighty. Anybody else want to comment about the soldering issue before we move on? This is K2BAR. Okie doke. Alrighty. WI2W, Mr. Steve, your comment. K2BAR.
This is WI2W. Well, two comments, actually. One, welcome, Dave, WI2Q. Nice to hear you. And your radios are doing a fine job from way out yonder west, so don't be a stranger, check in. And number two, Kid Night was really fun on Tuesday. I'll kind of repeat what I said last night on the 2-meter net. And that was, we had a whole bunch of guys doing stuff. We had Bruce and his son Chuck working on an antenna controller, a computer-controlled antenna controller. We had Joe, KC2OCC, working on his power supply for his Collins. There was another gentleman, his call escapes me, he was working on a heat kit transceiver that he picked up at our Barrow auction. Noel and the assembled masses were making tiger tails for HT's left and right, and I was a lucky winner and got to make one for myself. Jim, NS2K, was playing with his antennalizer and helping everybody to tune up their tiger tails, and I found out that the antenna on my HT doesn't seem to be resonant. It's amazing it works at all, so that was an interesting exercise. And then Charlie did an amazing demonstration of satellites out in the parking lot and had a whole crowd around him and made a bunch of contacts with different stations, and I think everybody was really thrilled with that. So hats off to Charlie for a great demo. And with that, back to that, K2BAR, WI2W.
Okay. Very, very good. Very good. Anybody want to comment about that?
WI2Q.
WI2Q. You again. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, good to hear you, Steve, also. And I just want to say that for those that are interested, I am running 1 watt into a vertical antenna, and the repeater, however you guys are hearing me, that's all I'm running here, with a Yaesu SD817 into a vertical antenna. That's it's only 50 feet off the ground, but it's 1,250 feet above sea level. But anyway, I just thought I'd let you guys know that although I'm far away, I'm only running a watt, and I'm getting into the repeater from out here. So the repeater's doing a fine, fine business job. And good to hear you too, also, Steve. We have to get together for some raw fish sometime. WI2Q, back to net.
Where is here?
I am in Landing, actually Mount Arlington. Mount Arlington, New Jersey, between exit 28 and exit 30 off of Route 8.
Okay, and by the way, Dave, you're S3 at my QTH on my vertical, which I'm not using. I'm drilling a hole into the repeater with my Yagis. But it's good hearing you, and it's always good hearing you. I usually hear you on UHF, so this is kind of pleasant as well. Sometimes on 895, I think I hear you as well. But anyway, good to hear you. WI2Q, WI2W. Anybody else want to comment on, I guess, Steve or Dave's comments? Okie doke. Alrighty. The next thing to see if there are any other comments for the net, and then I have something I'd like to share with some folks, and we'll go from there. anybody else would like to bring up another subject or a new topic or comment, whatever, please call K2BAR.
K2BAR, K2ZO.
Mr. Jim, go right ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment for Al before we was talking about the receiver. Al, if you want to bring the receiver to Kit Night next time, I will bring the tube tester, and we can take all the tubes out of that radio and test them, find out all the weak ones, and that may help you snip it up. So no big deal. We can do that for you.
That'd be great. I will be there then. Thanks a lot for the offer.
Okay. Very, very good. That sounds great. I'm going to get that radio rocking and rolling. Maybe in a subsequent time, you can, after you test the tubes, maybe you can go in and, you know, maybe do a little bit of light alignment, maybe picking it up a little bit. And after a few kit night sessions, you'll have a great receiver. Not a problem. Alrighty. There's been some dialogue in the Aries circles here in Burton County about colors of vests. And there's some rather strong opinions, and the good news is all the strong opinions are on the same side, so I'm just going to make a point here that if you're considering getting an Aries vest, something that will keep you from being run over and also make you look professional and uniform, it is suggested that the lime green zippered vest that the ARRL sells for Aries is a really good idea. It's about $23, I think, and change. And it also meets the OSHA ANSI Class 2 standards for visibility, has pockets, and says Aries on it, and all sorts of other good stuff. But that part of the equation is moving along pretty well. It goes over whatever club uniform you might have or personal gear you like to have, and it makes it so that we can easily identify amateurs among the crowd. There's less conclusion on specifically what should be done regarding orange hats and helmets, but it's moving in that direction. We just have to figure out which one and make it financially attractive and minimally impactful so people can spend money on radios and other more important things. But so that's basically the concept, is orange headgear the ARRL lime green $23 or so OSHA approved ANSI vest. So that's pretty much where we're going with that. And that will help us, you know, cross club lines and also cross served agency lines when we want to identify radio amateurs in a crowd.
K2GCL repeater.
What we are looking for is some suggestions on orange headgear. Warm stuff and cool stuff and safe stuff. So, although I think the safe stuff is the Advent 2 from Bullard, but that'll be an exception rather than the rule for most people. So if people can make a recommendation on something that's easily reproducible in the way of something warm, something cool, and again, professional and uniform, that would be a good thing. So we're looking for those ideas. Anybody have any comments or questions about that? Okay. Very, very good. We had a very successful net the other night. People rediscovered Simplex that night. We had about 17 of us, I think, participated in the net, and I think 15 of us communicated with about, I'd say, 80% of each other on Simplex, which was outstanding. I think in the wake of last weekend's repeater fandango, where everybody, three out of four repeaters that serve most of, you know, the traffic in Bergen County on 2 meters, went belly up. It was not a pretty picture, especially since the other one was exciter power only down in Fort Lee, so it was pretty ugly. So, you know, then there was 4-9, which I believe stayed up, and 835, which I believe stayed up as well, but they don't have as much traffic in this part of the county as, say, 1070 or 79 or 955 or Metroplex do. So it was interesting. Anybody have any comments about Simplex when portable, let alone at home? Okie doke. Well, that's pretty much all I have. Anybody have any other topics they'd like to bring up? Any new check-ins, please call K2BAR. Okay, I do have one more. And that is, has anyone had any, should we say, experience with compact fluorescent bulbs, or lights, CFLs, that we're all going to be mandated to use in the not-too-distant future, with respect to a noise floor, and what frequencies did they have trouble with CFLs, and what kind of CFLs were they, how long ago, etc.? I'd be very curious. This is K2BAR.
Yes, K2 Zeta.
Gotcha.
K2BAR, this is K2ZO. I replaced just about every lamp in my house with a compact fluorescent. Even now, they do manufacture the three-way compact fluorescents, and I have had no noise whatever on any lamp that I use. So they're pretty good. They're not noisy at all. I have one sitting here, which is only a few feet from the radio, and I don't have any problem on any band at all. They work very well. They're very efficient. Be aware of the fact that they do contain a small amount of mercury, so I think we're going to start seeing some notifications on how we should dispose of them. Back to that.
Comment. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, you need to be careful with those around the house. If you break one in the house, the first thing you want to do is don't use your vacuum cleaner to pick up the pieces and the dust. Use some duct tape or masking tape, but definitely don't use the vacuum, because you'll draw that mercury into your vacuum, and then as you vacuum around the house, you'll be spreading it throughout your house and contaminate it. So you want to be really careful with that if you break one. And that's you can go on the net and do some Googling and you'll find more info about it, but you definitely don't want to use a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, that's a good idea. What happens if you have a house that's, let's say, inside of the last 3 years had 13 dimmers installed? Any suggestions on how to handle those?
Get suicide and dimmers.
I heard somebody suggest suicide. Thanks a lot. That was cute. I missed what you said, Steve.
Yeah, they make dimmers that are RFI suppressed, so you just got to make sure you get the right dimmer. And if you got the wrong dimmers, well, I guess you got to do what you got to do.
WI2Q.
Yeah, hold on a second, Dave. No, I have dimmers. They're fine. They're not radiating or giving me grief. I'm just trying to figure out how I'm going to use them with compact fluorescents. So that's the nature of my question. We'll come around to that. In the meantime, WI2Q, K2BAR.
Yeah, there's only 5 milligrams of mercury in those bulbs. I know that any mercury is bad, but 5 milligrams, I mean, I put more than that on a coin to make it shiny when I was a kid, unfortunately. But 5 milligrams is like, could probably cover the head of a ballpoint pen. It's not really much mercury. But granted, what you're saying is correct. You should be careful with it anyway. But it's not like there's a lot of mercury in there.
5 milligrams of nicotine would kill you.
This is KC2SST. Sure, 5 milligrams of lots of substances will kill you, but I just Googled that myself, and 5 milligrams of mercury doesn't seem to give me any worries, and I have used mercury and mercury compounds for a variety of biological experiments, and exposure to 5 milligrams doesn't worry me at all, as long as it doesn't happen every day. But I can't imagine breaking the light bulb every day.
Is that why the way your dad is?
I was going to say the same thing!
I've used all my mercury away at university, so I didn't bring any home. So I don't know what his explanation is.
The answer to pollution is dilution.
Oh man, it must have been under your fingernails or something. You shook his hand when you came home, Chuck. Anyway, enough of that. We don't need to beat on poor Bruce. That was when Charlie said what he said, I was going to tee up and say the same exact same thing. But anyway, that's funny. Oh dear me, Charlie, you scare me. Oh dear. All right. So my question is this: do compact fluorescents, or are there flavors of compact fluorescents that will work with dimmers? That's the question. Ooh, I think we don't know the answer to that question. I haven't found one on the net either, by the way, in case you're wondering. Someone suggested to me that my fate is going to be LED lighting, which I'm just thrilled about. I'm as thrilled about that as I am with compact fluorescence in the first place. I got to tell you that those natural light bulbs that GE makes, they're kind of a bluish bulb. Boy, I've become so enamored of them, and there's just no other light like it. And I forget what the trade name is, but boy, it's a great bulb. It's easy on the eyes, and it's really a shame. Now, as a practical matter, I'm going to be taking out a 100-watt or so bulb times God knows how many in my house, and replacing them with, bulbs that'll probably draw, 25 watts, maybe, in LED arrays. Still, I don't think they're going to be as brilliant. It'll be what it is, because that's what's going to be available. I'm just kind of sad for it, frankly. I understand the nice enviro-friendly intent, and I would like to also lower my electricity bill, honest, but, still, it's kind of sad. Any other comments on the subject? Please call KTBAR.
USST.
Okay, NS2K, and then SST, and then maybe somebody else.
Okay, I'm looking at www.1000bulbs.com, 1000bulbs.com. They have a series of dimmable screw-in compact fluorescents.
Ah, thank you. 1000bulbs.com. We'll take care of that. That's good. And I'm assuming that they are compatible with existing dimmer mechanisms. I don't need to go out and buy something special and replace all my dimmers. And, get more thousands of dollars. Okay. Alrighty. I see the three-way they have there. That's very nice as well. But yeah, these are all going to have to be, recessed into the ceiling. It's going to be tricky. That's the other part of it. These are recessed lights in the ceiling. Alrighty. SST go, Chuck.
K2KCL repeater.
I just have a look at EliteLED, all one word, .com, and they do sell LED bulbs with Edison screw-in bases, but in a warm white color that has a color temperature of 3500 Kelvin, which should approximate an incandescent bulb a little bit better than the other intense white LEDs, if you want to go in that direction.
Okay, I'm there. What's the power outage? What is the number of lumens that it gives out?
The one I just clicked on, just at random, outputs 25 lumens, but they have one that looks a bit bigger, and that's 48 LEDs.
Okay, I'm looking. I thought I was at this site a while back. I don't see what you... Oh, wait, hold on. Yeah, I see it. I went to the light bulb and then scrolling down, I'm blinded. Yeah, I'm not seeing it here. Oh, yeah, 48 LED bulb, there it is. It's only $15. 2.5 watts of power, 50,000 hours of light, of life. 148 lumens, equivalent to a 40-watt incandescent. Now, 40 watts of light replacing 100 or 120 is not going to quite cut it, Chuck. We need to goose that up a bit.
I'll consider them pre-dimmed to, 45 or 50% and have at it.
Chuck, most of the time every bulb in my house is at full brilliance when people are around. But that therein lies the problem. I just don't think it'd be sufficient. I'm going to go buy one of these, however, or see if I can find something a bit more beefy. I'm going to put it in my office and replace it, because I have one of these things in my office here. So I will definitely go out and buy one just to get a sense for how it's going.
Yeah, that's 2K.
Jim?
I'm also seeing stuff on Amazon. Here's a 4-pack of 23-watt dimmable for $10.90. I'm not sure what the shipping is, but it's getting into the right neighborhood here price-wise.
Even the LED one that Chuck found, it was $15 or $16. That was not bad. If we could, maybe double the optical output, I think it would be just splendid. The one he found was equivalent to a 40-watt bulb. If I get something around 80 watts, there'd be some whining and gnashing of teeth, but it would be enough so that over time people would grow comfortable with it. I don't think that'd be a problem. All right, so Amazon.com, and what did you find? Any specific thing I should just Google on, maybe?
The keys here are dimmable compact fluorescent. And there are a whole bunch of them, different sizes and so on, and single packs, 4-packs, various, lots of different possible configurations.
Okay, very good. All right, anybody else with comments? I thought there was a third station in there.
K2BAR, this is KC2PYB.
Go ahead, Richard.
Yeah, I've got those bulbs throughout the house, and I even have one on my desk here in the lamp right by the radios. I have never had any trouble with the radios or anything in the house. I did break one, and, we just swept it up. Like, the amount of mercury in it is so small, it's really not that dangerous.
Good. Excellent. Alrighty. Well, I just did a Google search on dimmable compact fluorescent, and I got dimmable CFL bulbs and a few other things, too. So there's all sorts of stuff out there. Good, good, good. I didn't, silly me, I didn't think to check on the dimmable CFLs. But, if I can get something with a decent lumen output, why in the heck not? It'll be fine. It'll be absolutely fine. All right, well, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it. Anybody else want to make any comments or questions? Please call K2BAR. Alrighty. Well, I think we're winding down the net here. Anybody have any lasties, any announcements? That they want to make, please call KQBAR. Okay, well, I found an 18-watt dimmable, 75-watt equivalent, the spiral. I found a 75-watt spot equivalent at 19 watts as well. I found another one with an R40 reflector, 5-inch diameter, which would probably be sufficient. A little small, but it would be fine. And there's a 23-watt, PAR 38 reflector, 75-watt halogen equivalent for $20. So you know what? There's hope in the promised land, as they say, whether it's CFL or even other things. Oh, here's, they don't have it in a flood, but it's a 100-watt replacement at 24 watts, dimmable daylight, 5K lumens. That'd be perfect. 14 bucks a piece. But it's a spiral. So, you know, we'll just have to wait until the flood comes out.
I even see some dimmable R30 floodlights, 15, 20, 23, various different sizes.
Dimmable R30 floods, and they're CFLs or LEDs?
Yeah, this particular one is a CFL, 15 watt R30, 2700K, 500 lumen, 15 watt, 6000 hour. Incandescent equivalent, 50 watt, and a medium Edison.
Which is the household one, right?
Yeah, yeah. And this is at buylighting.com, and then I searched on the site for dimmable CFL.
Yeah, okay. I think we're, you know, I think we're going to be just fine. I found, I found the GE R30 dimmable flood, 720 lumens, which is okay, and it's only a 50-60 watt equivalent, but only burns 15 watts, so I'm sure there's a bigger brother there out there somewhere. We'll find it. One other thing, what I'm pleased to hear is that you guys are not reporting any RFI issues. I heard one recently that was a real chuckler, that someone had interference from a treadmill, if you can believe it. Someone got on their treadmill and it was creating RFI all over the place. You gotta love that kind of stuff. Yeah, I wonder if it's from the motor or it's from the computers in there or both. Who the hell knows? Probably the motor. But lovely stuff. Alrighty. Any other topics for the net or questions, comments, announcements, whatever, before we close? This is K2BAR.
And that's 2K.
Got you.
Anyway, I've seen, I have a lot of trouble with some of the touch switch type lamps, either built that way or the add-in touch switch things that are also dimmers. Those tend to be noisy as all get out. And I have put in a one of the pseudo electronic transformer things for 12 volt halogens in some of these little not stick-on, but you know, look like a stick-on fixture for like under counter or whatever. And those little step-down daily bulbs make tremendous noise. They just wipe out all, let's say, AM broadcast band in the neighborhood. Anyway, it's pretty bad. I've tried chokes, I've tried various things, and it's worse than that. Anyway, avoid those suckers. I have a lot of the, I have actually several of the fixtures, but I can't use any of the, any of their step-down things. So I have a couple of transformers, and of course that you can run them on you know, automotive type 12 volt. Anyway, a disappointment there, but we'll get it. And it's 2K.
K2KCL repeater.
Yeah, that's an insight. Yeah, all those touch lamp things are just disasters, to say the least. Alrighty. Well, thank you. That was very, very helpful, and hopefully we'll all come to a better place and not get any RFI. So anyway, I'm going to secure it this time, unless there's somebody else with anything else. Just a reminder that our next meeting is Sunday, April 6th at 7 p.m. We gather, and 7:45 is the meeting at the Red Cross Building in Ridgewood. I think it's on Godwin Avenue, if I recall. So hopefully you'll see us there. And of course, Kit Night is next Tuesday, and I guess the Tuesday after Easter as well. The public schools in that district are open after Easter. But certainly next Tuesday at 7 at the Westwood High School in Washington Township on Ridgewood Road. So you can join us there or join us on any of the baronets. You can also go to www.barra.org and go to our website, read our latest newsletters or even past newsletters, and feel free to join us for any of the activities we might have. So thank you very much. This is K2BAR, securing station, and thank you everybody for a nice night. Good night, everybody.